Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on Facebook at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now, Jim Andrews continues his study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our newly inaugurated exposition of Proverbs. In our opening study, we introduced the book, orienting ourselves to various facts and features of the book of Proverbs that the Bible student has to keep in mind to rightly understand it. So we come to the first chapter, where the introduction in the first five verses tells us what the intention of the Proverbs is. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. We already know that while most of these Proverbs are of Solomon, some of them are from wise men, as the contents tell us elsewhere. I mean other wise men than Solomon himself. But in the main, they are Solomon's Proverbs. They were written primarily as a primer for the young. Of course, not merely the young, but especially the young. This is a guidebook of wisdom, as we said in our last introductory study, to give youths a jump start on wisdom and to direct them into the ways of a happier, more productive, and fulfilling life, one that will honor God and be a blessing to others. This book of Proverbs, this wisdom literature, is about the art of living well, of living smart in a foolish age, making the most of the present while laying a foundation for the future. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The purpose is to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, fairness. They are intended to give prudence to the naive, the simple ones, to give to the youth knowledge and discretion. We are advised that a wise man, young or old, will hear and increase in learning. Please take note of that first half of that compound sentence. A wise man will hear. Boy, that is important. We'll talk about that in a moment. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. There's the purpose, and here's the test or the proof of a wise man. To understand a proverb and a figure, we have here the words of the wise and their riddles, because Hebrew wise men always like to tickle and titillate the ear of those interested in wisdom to make it not inaccessible, but to separate those who really wanted it from those who were only half-hearted by making one ask, seek, and knock, so to speak. I want to concentrate today's study on Proverbs 1:5, and our next one will be on Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will acquire, will make an aggressive effort to acquire wisdom. Wisdom may be dispensed orally. It could be dispensed in writing, as it is here. But wisdom is acquired orally with the ear. Folks, every wise teacher or mentor was first and foremost a wise listener and learner. God left a sign in our physiognomy of the proper proportion of human faculties. We have two eyes and we have two ears, two eyes with which to observe and two ears with which to hear, but we have only one mouth. The accent is obviously placed on hearing. A wise man, I repeat, will hear and increase in learning. He will hear. He has ears. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. The older I get, when I myself test people, particularly younger people, one of the things I test, because that's what God tests, is whether or not they have ears. It has always been the case with youth that it has the tendency, the propensity to be arrogant, you know, even as little children. I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. Well, there's a certain virtue in all of that, wanting to be independent. But there's something about youth, we all know it, we were all there at one time, that we think we know more than we do. Though I was once part of the problem, like everybody else, or most everybody else, the older I get, the more tiresome that gets. For young teenagers, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, thinking they know so very much, when most of the time they know so very little. I'm just in awe of their unfounded ignorance and the way they will speak and act around people who are twice as old as they are and who have three or four times the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But that is the way of the world. It always has been. It is today, and it will be in the future. But if you want to live smart in a foolish age, you've got to turn up those ears, and you've got to listen to those who know more than you and who have more experience than you, who've been through more passages than you. A wise man, chapter 1, verse 5, will hear, not talk. It's okay to talk. But first and foremost, they will listen. And when they listen, they will increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, seek it out, not go off on his own. In Proverbs 19:20, to jump ahead, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Proverbs 19:27, the same chapter, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A wise man differs from a fool, most notably, in the mouth and the ears. The fool is long on the mouth, but the wise man is long in the ears. A coral snake differs from a king snake, and a rattlesnake from a bull snake, but they look pretty much alike to the untrained eye. It's by listening that we learn the difference. Because a wise man, above all, fears and reverences God. His ear is first and foremost tuned to the voice of God. He listens chiefly to God. A wise man is marked by these attributes. He first of all ponders God's written word. Secondly, he seeks out God's will. Much of God's will is recorded in his word, but there are other matters that his word has nothing to say about. The wise man will seek out wise advisors, godly advisors, who will help him arrive at God's will. He will pray. He listens for the voice of the Spirit in circumstances, in the Word, in the counsel of others. He double-checks his impressions. He just doesn't run off impetuously, impulsively, before he uses his checks and balance. So the wise man listens chiefly to God, but he also listens to the church. Churches are imperfect, and getting their counsel is sometimes, as I've said, messy. But nevertheless, the wise man will not jump up and say, God has called me to the ministry, and go off to seminary to begin to prepare for the work. No, he will check with the church. He'll have the church, he'll have its leadership confirm that. And the wise man listens not only to God, but he listens to the church, and he listens to the voice of better experience. There are always people around in anything we might attempt who have more experience. They have more years under their belt. They've been there, and they've done that. And one who has understanding, who's not a fool, will take advantage of that. The wise of heart, the Proverbs tell us in 10:8, will receive commands. They will listen up to commands, the directions of God, the directions of men who legitimately are positioned to give directions. But a babbling fool will be thrown down, talking and not listening. Whoever loves discipline, the Proverbs say, but discipline, he means instruction, training, loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. It's a mark of the typical teenager. But they hate that. I'm not down on teenagers. I was a teenager. I know how they are. Not all teenagers are like that, but some are. It's just kind of a rite of passage. The trouble is, today, the age of adolescence runs up to somewhere around 32 or 33, and people who are supposed to stop being teenagers when they're past their teenage years still remain very much in that mode. In church life, that can sometimes extend even to youth pastors, but it can go anywhere. I've seen guys 45 years old that hate reproof. They hate correction. The Proverbs say the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel, chapter 12, verse 15. In chapter 17, verse 10, still on this theme of verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire counsel. That is our focus in this study. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. That is always the case. Chapter 19, verse 25 says, strike a scoffer, and the naive or the simple may become shrewd. There's really no hope for a scoffer, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. I'm always impressed when I run across a younger person, and you have for some reason to correct them or advise them, and they're so very, very appreciative and grateful, and even thank you for that guidance. But that's the exception. That's not the rule. For it is not the regular thing to find in youth this kind of wisdom. That's why Proverbs was written, in order to impart it. Chapter 23, verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool. Why? Because he will despise the wisdom of your words. That's an attribute of a fool. That's one of those things that sets him apart. That's one of those things that I, for example, watch when I'm appraising or assessing people, perhaps for a position or something like that, more and more so. Do they listen? Can they take correction? Can you give them guidance? And they're appreciative and thankful, and they come and seek you out. I've been amazed over the many, many years that I've been a pastor here. I've seen many, many come and go. But I've been astounded at how few times some of the people we've had aboard during those times take advantage of the vast experience and long years of learning and come in here and sit in my office and say, Pastor Jim, help me with this. Some of that is because they're insecure, afraid that I might think little of them for not knowing what they suspect I think they ought to know, not knowing how much I would respect them if they were just more secure and they'd step in and say, you know, you can help me. I don't know whether I'm thinking right about this or not. Could I just come in and talk with you about this? My estimation goes way up. It's that way with God, too. When he sees people who have ears for his wisdom and who seek wisdom from others. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. How rare that is, but what a good thing it is. Proverbs 25:12. Well, folks, success or failure in any enterprise often hangs on two good ears. My personal experience, not everybody's had my experience, but my experience has been that leaders fail for one reason more than any other. They will not listen. Now, let me define what I mean by listening. Some people will say, well, I've gone to talk to him, but he doesn't listen. By their definition, listening is not only hearing what they've got to say, but agreeing with what they've got to say, whether it's wise or whether it's foolish. You can get all kinds of advice from a variety of people, but some of it is the voice of inexperience. Some of it is ignorant. Some of it is just perilously foolish. You want to give a serious ear to those who want to offer you advice, but at the end of the day, before God, and in light of your own experience, in light of other counsel you get, you've got to make the best decision you can, but you always seek wisdom. But over my lifetime, I have seen more than one leader who had many virtues, actually, many virtues, many admirable qualities. But at the end of the day, I've seen them fail because regularly, regularly they followed their own lights, and they did not even seek counsel. The scripture will say, the Proverbs will say, and we'll get to that at another day, in multitude of counsel there is wisdom. Doesn't mean all that multitude will impart wisdom, but the chances are that if you seek counsel from many different advisors, you will hear enough wisdom, if you have ears to hear in all of that, that you'll get a much better, much clearer idea. You'll probably have a moment of clarity when you realize, this is what I should do. So we shouldn't run out and make impetuous financial decisions. A young man or young woman, if they're getting married, ought not make impetuous decisions about marriage. We ought not make impetuous decisions about where to go to school or what career path to follow. There are all sorts of issues in life that can kind of set our course for years to come, maybe even a lifetime, and not set us on a good course if we make the wrong decisions. Perhaps later we can bail ourselves out of bad decisions, but it is one of the worst character traits. I wouldn't say the worst, but it's one of the worst character traits, in my opinion, in a leader, if he does not have, or she, whatever kind of leadership. These days we have men and women who are leaders in business and politics and whatever. If people do not have ears to hear, if they do not seek counsel, if they just can't listen. And by listening, I mean to listen carefully to what people have to say and to evaluate it seriously in the light of other counsel, in the light of one's own lights, and in the light of one's own experience. That's what I mean by listening. So listening does not mean ignoring all your own instincts. It does not mean setting aside all of your personal knowledge and doing what others think best. That's not at all what it means. That's the way some people would interpret it, but they are foolish. It means weighing carefully and as objectively as possible what others advise, then doing what seems the best thing in the light of the best information from the best advisors. You're thinking about going into business. Have you ever been in business before? Do you know what it takes to go into business? Do you know why most startup businesses generally fail? Do you know what are some of the commonest mistakes that someone owning a business makes? Things like that. Do you understand all that you need to understand if you think you're going into business? You're trying to pick a college. Do you know what to look for? Do you know what kind of college would be suitable for you? Do you know if you're going to major in this or that, what would be the best kind of school to attend? Oh my, there are 100 questions. Well, listening carefully involves weighing and as objectively as possible what others advise and then doing what seems to be the best thing in light of the best information from other advisors. Proverbs says so wisely, where there is no guidance, people fall, but in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. There needs to be guidance, and we can get guidance from God's Word. We can get guidance from the Spirit of God through prayer. We can get guidance from circumstances, a combination of things, and we can get guidance from wise and discerning people that the Lord has given us access to. And by all means, we should do that. I'm not saying when you go to buy a loaf of bread, call all your friends and advisors and ask where to buy the bread and what kind to buy. There are simple decisions in life that are not rocket science. But when there are these critical decisions that have impact for years to come or immediate impact that have heavy-duty implications, that's when we need to avail ourselves of all the counselors and get our ears on. Shut our mouths and get our ears on. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, through presumption, and one form of presumption is assuming that I know enough to neglect counsel. Through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Proverbs 20:18 says, prepare plans by consultation and make war. That is, those who are in a position where they have to make such heavy-duty positions, make war by wise guidance. Don't get, if you're a ruler, all huffy and jump up and sound the alarm and marshal your armies and stride off to war. Make war by wise guidance. Sometimes you might win a battle, but you'll lose the war. We call it a Pyrrhic victory. One more victory like that and we'll all be lost, said General Pyrrhus. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, who neglects training and instruction. But he who regards reproof will be honored, Proverbs 13:8. He who hates reproof, just can't stand for anybody telling him he's wrong, anybody trying to correct them, anybody trying to change his course, he who hates reproof will die. Sometimes they'll just die career-wise, sometimes they'll die physically. There is more than one way to die, but oftentimes it will cost you your very life because you hate reproof, Proverbs 15:10. How many a parent has told their son just before he takes that big car out for the night, "Now, son, be careful, keep the speed limit, and remember, don't get with a bunch of people who are drinking." And, of course, the know-it-all youngster goes out, boy or girl, and none of these bad things can happen to them, and then they're killed or maimed for life because they hated reproof. "Oh, Mom and Dad, don't tell me that stuff. I just get tired of hearing it." And then they're killed, or the next time they see their parents, they're in the hospital with serious injuries. Well, let me tell you something about people who listen, which is what Proverbs 1:5 is talking about. People who learn to listen, who have two good ears and use them, one of the advantages they have in life is they don't have to reinvent the wheel because they listen to others. So many times when people don't listen, they go out and they create more work for themselves because they're reinventing a wheel that others have already invented before them. They can save themselves a lot of time. People who listen, they have more wit and wisdom to work with. That's a tremendous advantage, don't you think? Use all the resources that you've got. When you work with people, when you're a business owner, or you're a leader, you're a father, you're a wife, my goodness, draw upon the people around you. Sometimes you can even draw upon your kids when it's appropriate. Listen to the young. It's not just a one-way proposition. The older should listen to the younger, and the younger should, by all means, listen to the older. But husbands should listen to their wives. Our wives sometimes are a treasury of wisdom and understanding. But some husbands, being confused by the fact that they are the head of the family, think that means that they just go out and make unilateral, tyrannical kinds of decisions. Now that is really stupid, and it's really wrong, and it's unbiblical. We ought to use all the resources that God has given us. And people who listen will enlist more support, because people are more likely to come around you and help you. If they know that you listen, then they'll want to support you. And people who listen at the end of the day will be more sure of themselves. They've heard all sides. They've listened to everything, whether it's a moral issue, an ethical issue, a business issue, a political issue, or a social issue, or a spiritual issue. They will be more sure of themselves when they have familiarized themselves with all sides. And people who listen are more adept at sorting out the truth or the realities of the matter at the end of the day. To be a listener doesn't mean you never talk. To be a listener doesn't mean that you do what others say. You'll get conflicting advice. But to be a listener means you listen very carefully. You weigh things as objectively as possible and respect what others have to say. At the end of the day, you'll probably do the right thing. Well, thank you, friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and just have a great day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. And our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.